Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, hello, and welcome, or should I say welcome back, to the Indie Football Podcast. I am Ed Mallion, long returning after 2 weeks' absence, as your host, sports editor of The Independent, and alongside me, the two Jacks. I don't know what better way to describe you. Jack Austin to my left.
Hello.
Pride of Wales, and the Pride of Peckham to my right, Jack Pitbrook.
Hi, Ed, how you doing?
I'm not so bad. Pride of Peckham or Pride of Salisbury?
I'm not sure.
I mean, second most famous thing to come out of Salisbury in recent times.
It's good to have you back on the podcast.
Well, thank you very much. Two excellent episodes while I was away.
How was your time away?
I had a brilliant time. Obviously, I would have rather been at work, slaving away, but I had an excellent time in South America. Saw some excellent things. Had some excellent fun. Had some good beef. But I won't bore everyone with that.
Until later on in the podcast,
yeah. So it's International Week, which means there's nothing interesting happening whatsoever. And we were going to talk about the friendlies, Jack. I'll give you a short period. I just said Jack and no one knows which Jack I'm talking to. I'll give you a short period now to air any thoughts you have about any international friendlies over the last few days. Go.
Spain need a better striker than Rodrigo Moreno.
Okay, good one. Other Jack?
The kits look good.
Kits look good. Yeah, that's the sort of in-depth analysis I was hoping for today. I'm going to say I liked Kyle Walker on the right of a back three. I think against that rubbish Netherlands team, it might not be something that we see, like, kind of... You're not getting the best out of it against a crap Holland side. However, if you're up against an elite front line where you want, one, the extra man as cover in a back three, and two, you want to have someone with real pace to counteract what, you know, really good players. Like, if we were up against Argentina, would I want to see Kyle Walker on the right of a back three? Yeah, probably. Because I want someone with pace.
One of the best City performances I've seen this season was away at Stamford Bridge in September when City won 1-0. And instead of playing the normal 4-3-3, Pep played a kind of lopsided 3-4-3 with Walker in that exact role on the right of the back three, which was really helpful in terms of stopping Hazard. But it also meant that, you know, Walker could go and attack and join in with De Bruyne, who was playing on a kind of like inside right position, and then Sterling, who was playing on the right of the front three. So Walker has already played in that position, and he did it really, really well. So I think it's a clever move from Southgate.
I mean, that was one of the most dominant performances I've seen all season from any team, that Manchester City win at Stamford Bridge. So I liked that. I'll also add Argentina-Italy. I think we've seen Argentina are a way better side than Italy, and Argentina are nowhere near finished. I'm going to write a piece today about how there is a slight concern that Sampaoli isn't bringing it all together in time for the World Cup. Jack, any more thoughts from you?
No, I would agree with the Argentina comment. I think that it may just be a slightly too soon for them.
Wales?
Well, they're in China Cup action. Bigger than the World Cup, people
might say.
Bigger
than the World Cup, though. Many have said that. I mean, Uruguay out there. Uruguay are a side to keep an eye on. We will be, just as a little spoiler, we'll be going to ranking every World Cup team in order or perceived likelihood of winning the entire thing. I've got a top 16 from Johnny, who's in Amsterdam, still with England, still raking through the wreckage of that performance, I think, or just enjoying a nice weekend away. So before we get started with that, I did actually just want to refer to France-Colombia. Did you see that?
No.
Okay, that's annoying. France-Colombia, France's first half performance was everything that you'd expect them to be in terms of they were brilliant, out the gate, dominant. They've got probably the best depth, I think, apart from Spain and Germany. No, I think they're as deep as Germany of any team. But the way they crumbled is so Deschamps, and I think that's why, and there's a little spoiler, I've got them fifth in our power rankings. So do you want to go from 32 to 1 or 1 to 32? I think the more interesting discussion is to be had in that top 16, but the bottom 16 is harder to do because it's difficult to decipher who should be where. So where do you want to start, top or bottom?
I think we should start at one. Because
start at one, we've got. I've also got ones from Johnny, who obviously can't be with us, and Miguel also. Miguel has, and so this is his top five: Spain, Argentina, Brazil, Germany, France. Johnny has Spain, Brazil, Germany, France, Argentina. I have Brazil, Spain, Germany, Argentina, France. So everyone has the same five teams in a different order. What would you have, JPB?
I'd have Brazil, Spain, France, Argentina, Germany.
And why would you have... So why have you got... I've also got Brazil first. Why do you have Brazil ahead of everyone else?
Experience. They've got, with the exception of in goal, where they've got two very good keepers in Alisson and Edison, they've got top level experience in every position on the pitch. Like they're it's not very different from the team from 4 years ago, except for the fact that they're all more mature. Neymar, if he's fit, is probably a better player. They've got Gabriel Jesus. Coutinho is the best he's ever been.
Yeah.
But in the defensive and midfield positions, you know, Fernandinho, Willian, Casemiro, Thiago Silva, Miranda, Dani Alves, Marcelo. It's such a strong, powerful team of winners.
Two excellent players for most positions.
Yeah.
Like left back, Marcelo gets injured. Okay, Alexandro, £70 million left back can come in. They've got immense depth. They've got immense talent, like elite talent in the first 11 anyway. And for the first time in many, many years, they've got a proper coach in Chiche, who I think is the difference here for me. I think he might be one of the best coaches at the tournament, if not the best coach at the tournament. So I do have them one. Jack Austin, who would you have number one?
I'd have Brazil one as well. I think they've come a lot more mature than they have been in previous tournaments. And also, a number of Brazilian players have started out in Russia, and they've got a lot of experience in playing in these conditions, which I think a lot of other countries don't particularly have.
Yeah, if you take some of those guys that were at Shakhtar and whatever, I think it could help. I mean, I don't think many players are going to have difficulty adapting to Russia in the summer. I think the weather should be fine, but there is something to be said for it. I have Spain second. Johnny has Spain over Brazil. Miguel has Spain, then Argentina, then Brazil. So what do we think about Spain? Lopetegui, I think, is the right man because they've got a really talented under 21 group who he's brought through into the first team, but he has failed at club level. So what do we think is about them, apart from, I mean, what you've already pointed out, is centre forward is still their weakness.
Yeah, I mean, I actually watched their game against Germany instead of the England game on Friday evening, which makes me sound like a bit of a Ramona.
Right.
But I thought they were, like, as you would expect, they were so good in midfield, like, because they had Silva, Iniesta, Koke, Thiago, and one other in midfield. I actually can't remember. But they were, obviously, they kept the ball really well. Moreno put them 1-0 up with a good run to get onto an Iniesta pass. But ultimately, you always feel with that Spain team, like, they played their best stuff when they had David Villa up front or Torres an alternative or perhaps as a partner. And since then, they've been, you know, Costa is, if they can get Costa fit, he's obviously a great addition to the team, even though he didn't really do anything in the 2014 World Cup.
He's never fit into that Spain team.
Yeah, Alvaro Morata. Like, Morata could be good, but even then, he's never going to have that kind of incision that David Villa had. They've got, you know, they've also got the best keeper in the world by a distance, and they've got Piqué and Ramos. So I can't see how they would screw it up. I can't see them going out early. But I think it's the firepower up front that just gives Brazil over Spain the edge for me.
Well, they've got the tough group with Portugal in there. You know, that's the one potential slip up. Their best striker in the qualifying for the Euros is Paco Alcácer, who's obviously now at Barcelona and hasn't scored in about 5 years, it feels like. But it was just having a poacher. You know, he wasn't the best striker they had. Diego Costa and Alvaro Morata were probably better centre forwards. But Paco was a finisher, and there was kind of an element of, they had all these build-up guys, Iniesta and whoever, but they didn't have a guy who could finish, and I wonder if they're still lacking that. There's a bit of a quibble between Germany and Argentina in 3 and 4, Jack Austin, if you'd like to kind of pick that one away for us.
Well, for me, I actually wouldn't even have Argentina as fourth. I'd probably have France ahead of them, because from what we said before, I'm not convinced that they're the team that everybody thinks they are on paper.
Argentina, this is, yeah?
Yeah. So I would say Germany are the third best team there.
I think Messi looks so on it right now. If Messi's playing in this form with even an average performing Argentina team behind him, they can't be outside the top four or five teams, can they?
No, but how many times has he gone into a major tournament before on this form or even better and failed to live up to expectations?
I actually disagree. I think this is certainly the best Messi since 2015 and arguably the best Messi since like 2012.
I think he you know, they talked about dependence on Messi in different clubs. Not different clubs, the same club, but different teams within Barcelona. Obviously, the Valverde system, he's got a completely different role to what he has, but I feel like their dependence on him is actually possibly greater than it's ever been.
Yeah, definitely.
He is, you know, the arch creator as well as the arch goal scorer. My fear is I'm not sure Sampaoli's bringing this together quick enough. I think what he did with Chile was remarkable, but you've got to caveat that by the fact that he had a lot more time with Chile. He had several tournaments with them, and he also had previously managed Universidad de Chile in the Chilean league, and a lot of those players were in the Chilean national team. So they were players who knew his system and knew him and worked well with him, and he fitted players around them. You know, he prioritised players that had played with that club side with him. He's come in pretty late into the qualifying campaign at a time when they just needed results. They had to win those games to just scrape into qualifying rather than really putting a focus on the play, which is, you know, his big thing. Like, he's like a Bielsa disciple. It's all about the shape and the system. So he hasn't got a long time to really hammer this into them. And I think whether it's dogmatic or not, leaving out Icardi and Dybala would be unforgivable. I think you can't leave players that good out of your squad by choice, and it's almost certainly what he's going to do now. So I think that damages their chances, but I do have them.
Why is he going to do that?
There is some sort of thought that Dybala and Messi tread on each other's toes, but it, you know, for me, it's like, okay, fine. Well, you don't have to start the guy, but say Messi gets injured, who else would you want to bring in? You know, so you're gonna have to play with just Higuain on his own, and then like another, find another midfielder like Diego Perotti or someone. Like, of course, you'd rather have Dybala as a backup to Messi, even if you think they can't play together. You have to have him as a backup. Mauro Icardi, I think, has had plenty of personal concerns, off the field concerns, and the way he's gone about his life, which has damaged his reputation in Argentina and stuff. He's obviously super famous in Argentina. He's like a tabloid superstar, but the fact that Wanda represents him as well, like, she's kind of not helping this whole situation. But I would have them ahead of France because I don't trust Didier Deschamps. How was the feeling on Didier Deschamps in the room?
I don't think he's great. I think that he was arguably fortunate to survive blowing the final of Euro 2016,
yeah,
which they obviously should have won. I think that the depth of talent they have is also remarkable. I think there's an argument that France is now, and even arguably greater Paris, has surpassed Brazil as like the best mass producer of high quality footballers in the world. Like, it's remarkable, really, the players that they wouldn't have in the team.
Well, they were kind of resisting putting Lamar and Mbappe in because they had such a good team already. And then now you've got the kids at Lyon coming through, Aouar, his name is, and
Fekir
is still really good. So it's like, how do you find space for all these players? There's so many talented players there. But, you know, Deschamps has failed, what, twice now at major tournaments? Do you think they're better than Portugal, though, Jack?
Yeah, I think they're better than Portugal. I think for me, the one thing stopping them from being included in the top three best teams is Deschamps. But I still think they're is a big gap between the top five and the rest. I think that, like we were talking about, their strength in depth and their options, even off the bench, is just any other team would love to have someone like. The problem of, can we fit Lamar into the team or Mbappe?
And Lamar played really well the other night. A former player who played under Deschamps once told me that they were on a European away trip and they're flying back from the Champions League game and it was going through a storm and lots of players were scared and one of the players looked to the other and was like, why aren't you worried? And he goes, it's fine, Deschamps on board. And the idea is basically he's the luckiest man alive. Like, he was the water carrier in that France 98 team. He's been handed basically title winning league teams before and he's been handed the greatest generation in French football history, possibly more talented than the 98 team, they think, in terms of depth. And he's not doing anything with it. Portugal 6th, I've got, absolutely agree with that. Belgium in 7th. So Belgium, obviously, in the same group as England. They're ranked 2nd in the world, which I know doesn't mean much. They've got Roberto Martinez, which some people might see as a negative, but I think isn't like an indisputable upgrade on Mark Wilmot. So where do you stand on the Belgians? I've got Johnny's list here. Johnny has them 6th, which is, he's got them ahead of Portugal. We've got them behind Portugal. What say you, JPB?
I'm kind of bullish about Belgium's chances. Like, Martinez obviously eventually failed at Everton, but I think he's still got a lot of credit in the bank from Wigan Athletic. I think that often in international football, what you need is like someone with a vision. Someone with a vision, a clear way of playing, and like the ability to infuse the players about following what he wants them to do. And yeah, like they're not going to be that great at the back, but if you can find a way to make those guys click together, then you've suddenly got like one of the strongest teams in the whole competition.
The hard thing in international football, they say, you know, is creating good complex attacking play.
Exactly, yeah, and that's
what he could be doing that, yeah.
Yeah, completely. Like in a way which obviously Wilmots never could do because he wasn't a good enough coach. Whereas Martinez, like the one thing that we know Martinez is good at is getting like a bunch of kind of like disparate players to play good attacking football together. Like that's how he kept Wigan up time after time.
He's still got defensive talent, you know. He I think has a reputation as someone who can't organise a defence, basically, from how things fell apart in the Premier League for him. But if his back line looks something along the lines of, I don't know, Alderweireld and Vertonghen centre backs, you'd have to say.
I think it'll be.
Would he play Vertonghen left back?
Toby, Kompany, and Vertonghen as a back three.
I mean, it's still quite special as a back three.
I think in international football, scoring is probably the most difficult thing, and he's got the players who can do that. And with his attacking tactics as a manager, that's what his team's going to be geared towards. And with three defenders like that, three of the best centre backs in the last Premier League for the last 5-10 years.
He likes possession, and he's going to be dominating possession with someone like De Bruyne threading passes. I mean, you've got to think that they've got a pretty good chance. I might stick him above Portugal. Johnny might be right on that one. And the next team I have is Colombia, who the others have weighed down, but I'm quite bullish on Colombia. Either of you have any strong view on Colombia? Because obviously they were a great story at the last World Cup until it kind of, they got knocked out to Brazil, which is inevitable, I guess. But Falcao is back for this one and gives them the centre forward that they didn't have last time. James Rodriguez, 4 years on from being the best player at the World Cup, has had a very different 4 years.
Well, he's enjoyed a bit of a resurgence recently at Bayern Munich.
At Bayern Munich, yeah. Well, I mean, he's playing, which is a good start. But where, you know, there's so much talent actually in that Colombian team. If you look at, they've now got about 15, 16 players playing at top European clubs. They could be that third best team in South America, do you think? Or would you have someone like Uruguay ahead of them?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen either Colombia or Uruguay play for a while. I quite like the look. I mean, just looking at the players on paper, I like the look of the Colombia team, not least because they've also got Davinson Sanchez and Yerry Mina, I think, at centre-back. Sanchez is an amazing player to watch. I love watching him play for Spurs because he takes so many risks. Mm. Like, there's always, he's kind of good for a mistake every game, but you don't often see that many players who combine that athleticism with being that comfortable on the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And willing to just take the ball in difficult circumstances and try and beat a striker with a bit of skill.
He's quite special. Yeah, he is special. I mean, you know, Barcelona bottled that deal in that January to sign him. He went to Ajax and ends up costing like five times as much. But I'd have Colombia in that mix. That, by the way, is the top eight. So that's what you'd expect from the quarterfinals. Yeah, Brazil, Spain, Germany, Argentina, France, Portugal, Belgium, Colombia. You might be wondering where England are. Where are Wales, Jack?
China, at the moment.
That's right, didn't qualify. So nine, Croatia, that's a consensus pick. Croatia's midfield might be the best, or certainly the top three in the entire competition.
Maybe, although I think Modric is probably past his best.
This season's shown that.
Yeah, the suggestion that he certainly can't do it twice a week every week like he used to be able to do.
But if you surround him with legs, so if you have got Kovacic, Badeli, Brozovic, these guys around him, we've got Perisic.
How much is Kovacic playing for Real?
He's actually played a decent amount. He's the guy they use quite often when they kind of want to, if they want a man marker player. If you're playing against Barcelona and you want someone not just on Busquets the entire time, they pick Kovacic. He's the energetic guy who gets around and will follow instructions pretty much to the letter. He's still incredibly young. He's really good with the ball, obviously. He can pick up the ball and kind of take it 20 yards without you blinking. I think he's going to be a very good player. I think he's one of the players that, when he first arrived, I wasn't sure if it was going to be one of those where he goes back on loan to Serie A after 6 months and you never see him again, or if he could actually make it stick in Madrid.
Was he involved much at Euro 2016? I remember being quite a bit underwhelmed by Croatia when I saw them there.
The Euro 2016 campaign was a bit of a disaster. I did a couple of games. I did one of their game against Turkey where there was a lot of the problem with the ultras bringing in fireworks, and they were protesting the Croatian Football Federation, who, by all accounts, seem to not know what the hell they're doing. They've got a lot of talent there, but the managers they've had before have struggled to fit it all in, because, I mean, it is a lot of central midfielders as well. That's the thing. It's like, how do you find a formation? You play a diamond, you want to play like five in the middle and pack the middle. Mandzukic up front obviously gives you energy, but is he going to give you perhaps the incisiveness that you want? Then if you play Kalinic, you've got like a poacher sort of guy, but maybe you haven't got the hard-working guy that you need to lead the line. So I think they've got a lot of talent, but I am yet to kind of see them show anything that makes me think they could go all the way. Like, I mean, their ceiling is probably quarterfinals.
I think if you look at their group as well, it's not the easiest group, and one slip could cost them Argentina, well, Iceland, Nigeria.
That group itself, probably one of the most interesting. I downgraded Portugal a little bit, because if you come second in that group, then they suddenly have a hard team in the second round. I've got England 10th, fair enough.
I might have England a few spots higher.
Well, you know, they're the rules. I think if you didn't get your British media memo, we have to build them up first. Then we can knock them down in the same old way. So England 10th, so England basically are a borderline quarterfinal round of 16 team.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
So if England get knocked out at that point, then everyone can be reasonable about this.
I think if England get to the quarterfinals, people will say it was a good campaign. Obviously, like, if they were to lose to Iceland, it would be worse than if they were to lose to Brazil. But I think quarterfinals is a realistic aspiration.
Well, if you get to the quarterfinals, you're going to be playing against a really good team.
Right.
We've looked at, you know, if it's any of those top eight sides, that, and you get knocked out to Brazil, Spain, Germany, Argentina, France, Portugal, Belgium, Colombia, Croatia, you're going to be, okay, fair enough. You know, they're all good teams.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Right.
Yeah, I'd say quarterfinals you got to be happy with, especially because this is a building tournament. You'd say 90% of these players would be there for the next World Cup. And I think that's got to be Southgate's main goal.
And I think
goal.
You can even see that in some of Southgate's recent selections. Yeah. Like, he wouldn't have, if he was focusing on winning this tournament, or on if he wanted to put all his eggs in the 2018 basket, he wouldn't have dropped Gary Cahill. But I suspect that he's dropped Gary Cahill in part because he's thinking, well, he's kind of all right now, but if I'm more interested in 2020, 2022, yeah, then that's why I'd rather have Maguire, Tarkowski, whoever, instead of Cahill. And I think the same logic probably applies to, I was going to say Joe Hart, but I think Joe Hart's probably unpickable now. But maybe Chris Smalling, for example, yeah, or some other senior players, mm-hmm, who aren't getting a look in.
Interestingly, Johnny obviously loves Brexit or something, because he's got England much lower down than us. Uruguay and Poland ahead of England.
Well, you're the Uruguay expert.
I mean, Uruguay, fine. Uruguay are interesting because they've always been a functional team under Tabarez. And they've always had this great forward line, especially when they had Forlan as well. Forlan, Cavani, Suarez was something great. You've got Cavani and Suarez, but they no longer have the hatchet man midfield. They've got some talented ball players in midfield. If anything, they might lack a little bit of bite. There's a guy called Torreira who's at Sampdoria, who they were really excited about. Everyone in Uruguay was really excited about coming into the team. There's some other, I can't remember the forward's name that all the locals really want, who plays in the Uruguayan league. who's not in the squad, so I think he might miss out. But Tabarez is one of the best coaches there as well, so I think they'll always outperform the fact that they're a country the size of Wales, they're like 3 million people or something. I still wouldn't have them ahead of England. Poland ahead of England. Why do you think Johnny might have gone for that?
Well, Poland should be quite well set up for tournament football in the sense that they're very well organised. They've got two banks of four, and then they've got one... Lewandowski's maybe slightly past his best, but they've got like a world-class number nine. And given how tight the margins are in the international games, and they're not kind of high-scoring back and forths, simply having those ingredients ought to make you quite good. That said, I didn't think Poland were great in 2016. They weren't great in Euro 2012 either. They've not quite fulfilled the potential of those ingredients, I think, in tournaments.
Mexico, Nigeria, that rounds out the top 16. You know, if that was the last 16, those sound like Mexico and Nigeria teams that have been able to get through the groups but never much further.
Well, Mexico are the greatest underperformers in international football. Like, they're a football mad country of 120 million people. They've only reached the quarterfinals twice, and both of those were in tournaments that Mexico was hosting.
Yeah.
Like, so they've never even reached the quarters outside of Mexico, which is crazy, really, when you think about the talent pool, Liga MX, the passion, the kind of... They've produced good individuals, but maybe not quite as many good individuals as you'd expect. In terms of this tournament, well, I don't know. I mean, I think they've got enough... I think, as ever, they've got enough talent to get there if they can get it together. You know, in terms of players who are currently doing well in Europe, you've got Hector Herrera, Porto, Miguel Layun.
He's at Seville now.
Yeah. Guardado.
Joe Corona. Diego Reyes. But I think there is a school of thought that basically Liga MX is quite rich. They've got a lot of money because it's a football-loving country, and Mexico has a better economy than people think. So what you have is a league that can retain its best players,
yeah,
whereas other leagues in South America can't afford to. So the Mexican team is actually better than it should be. Oh, sorry, Mexican players are not as good as they should be because they are retained, because the Mexican league is better than it should be and better than people realise.
Yeah.
What do we think about Nigeria? Because that is a talented squad.
Yeah, I mean... Of the African teams, they're probably the best shot.
Yeah, we have them as the best African team. Yeah.
Of getting furthest in the tournament. Yeah, I mean they did well in qualifying. I think they should definitely get through to the round of 16. It's just when you get to that stage, it's who they're drawn against.
We've got Iceland and Argentina in that group.
I think they're quite interesting, Nigeria, because they've got more and more players who are either born in England to Nigerian parents or brought up in England, like guys like Ola Aina from Chelsea, Alex Iwobi, who we all know from Arsenal.
Is Lookman playing for them?
No, Lookman's chosen to play for England, okay. But there's quite a few players of that kind of generation who've got the option of playing for Nigeria or have been talking to Nigeria. They've been trying to get Chuba Akpom from Arsenal,
Moses
as well. Victor Moses, of course, yeah, who we know about. I think it kind of helps out Nigeria as well because it gives them more players with that kind of like Premier League Category 1 Academy education.
They've got some talent.
I think they could be a really dangerous team who you wouldn't want to play against.
So that's the top 16, so what we'd expect to get through the group, but it's really hard to do the next 16. Let me see the end of Johnny's. So he's got a couple of different teams in that top 16 that we had. He has Russia in there, I guess, because he assumes they're going to get refereeing decisions. Russia, do we think Russia's results will outperform their actual ability?
Yes, I'm sure they will.
By hook or by crook.
Because it would be difficult to underperform the ability.
They are, according to World Ranking, they're the worst team at the World Cup, worst ever host of a World Cup. That's not a record they'll hold for that long, obviously, given where the following World Cup is. He's also got Japan in the top 16. Where do we stand on Japan?
They've got some really good players.
Actual talent, you know, like people who are really good on the ball and can cause damage.
There's
but
more and
we've
more
never
Japanese
seen them go deep in this tournament.
Yeah, there's more and more Japanese players who are kind of making a career of it, particularly in Bundesliga, where they're kind of, where lots of German teams like, they're kind of naturally athletic and hardworking, the players are.
And Takashi Inoue has done very well in La Liga as well. I mean, it's quite funny watching Ibaru, this little club, being followed around by a bunch of Japanese journalists because he's the only Japanese player in the league. And that, you know, obviously it's a great marketing move for them, but he's actually probably been their best player the last few seasons. I'll group the next bunches of teams because we probably don't have super strong opinions. 17 to 21, Serbia, Morocco, Sweden, Senegal. How do we, which ones do we like out of those? Which one's too high, too low?
Well, Serbia have got lots of good players. I mean, lots of well-established Premier League players. A new generation of youngsters. I think they won the Under-20 World Cup in 2015. So that's players like Miloš Veljković, the keeper.
Milinkovic-Savic is the guy that everyone really rates at Lazio, right?
Yeah, the keeper at Maccabi Tel Aviv, I think, is Rajkovic.
Okay.
So they've got lots. Yeah, you know, they've got as ever with Serbia. The question is, can they kind of organise that talent? But they've got.
I think they're difficult to beat. I think.
Yeah, yeah.
They're in qualifying. They were hard to break down. They're hard to get past.
They're often tipped as dark horses in these sorts of things, aren't they?
I think you could see them picking up a lot of draws. It's turning those draws into victories, which is going to be the next step for them at the World Cup.
Yeah, if they've got an attacker who just has a good tournament, it's the sort of one where they could gatecrash the knockout rounds. Morocco, an expertise of yours, Jack?
Yeah, well, Morocco, again, are an interesting team in the sense that all their best players are French, or rather were born in France, brought up in France, yes. To Moroccan parents.
Yeah.
But that means they've got guys like Mehdi Benatia, Sofiane Boufal, who are really, really good. And I think that they've got Hervé Renard as manager now, who's obviously been very, very successful in African international football over the years. I reckon Morocco could be pretty handy.
They've got the players to play nice football, actually. You know, it's going to be attacking football. It's not going to be some of the smaller nations are defensive. Reactive sides. I think they could be a bit more proactive.
Yeah, I went to the final of CHAN, which is like African Nations Cup, but for players who play their club football in Africa. And Morocco beat Nigeria, I think 4-5-0 in the final in Casablanca a few months ago, and they were playing really good football. Like they zipped it around really quickly. They were very expansive. They created lots of chances. And these are guys who, you know, I think a handful of those players will get into Hervé Renard's 23 for the World Cup. But there's an awful lot of talent there, and also like a kind of national commitment to good football, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Sweden, obviously, without Zlatan, even if he tries to come out of international retirement, there is some thought that they're better since he retired. Senegal next, who have got a lot of good players based in England and based in France, but most notably, I guess, Sadio Mane.
Yep. I think if you look across Africa, you've got the one. Maybe each team has one standout forward. Mane, he's got so much energy, but can he do it? I think the question is, can he do it by himself? Obviously, at Liverpool, he's got his support act as well.
If they're playing on the counter, I guess that speed will be decisive.
That'll be something when teams come up against them, they'll have to keep that in mind because they're not going to dominate possession. But to have someone like Salah. Mane.
Sadio Mane, yeah. If they had Salah as well, it'd be quite
something. Salah and Sané as well. If they had Mane there just on the last shoulder of a defender, then you've always got to be wary of that.
Quite a good destructive midfield as well. 21 to 25. Iceland, Costa Rica, South Korea, Egypt, Peru. Any of those seem too low? Anyone going to say Iceland are too low?
Yeah, high? I'm sure Iceland are too low in the sense that so much of international football comes down to cohesion and experience, and like, can these basically like the big question for almost any team at the World Cup is, can this group of individuals play well as a team? And Iceland are one of the few teams who we know for absolutely certain can play well as a team and overperform like the aggregate of their talent.
Well, what I'd say is Iceland and Costa Rica, they're 21 and 22, are the two teams that most overperformed at the last two major international tournaments that we watched, and both did it by being solid defensively, good at set pieces. And good on the counter-attack. And, you know, that's all it needs, really, at international football level to get some sort of success. Set pieces are massive in tournaments like this.
So for those reasons, I would probably have Iceland getting out of that group.
You would you? Okay, so you'd have Iceland and Nigeria switched, basically, 16 and 21. Costa Rica, to repeat their heroics of Brazil? I'm not going to assume that you've watched a lot of Costa Rica qualifying.
I'm not convinced. I would agree with Jack though on Iceland that I think that if you look at Euro 2016, obviously you group them, Wales and Northern Ireland together as the surprise packages, but they're the only one of the three that actually managed to qualify for this World Cup. So they're actually still progressing.
They were dominant in qualifying, which suggested it was more than a one-off at that time. South Korea have one of your favourite players, Jack, Son Heung-min.
Yeah, and Ki Sung-yung, who's a great player.
Who, if they can get lucky, then South Korea could surprise a few people. I mean, I think Son is excellent. But
do you think it'll be slightly harder for him in the World Cup because he's used to... He's basically used to running in behind.
Yeah.
At his best against teams that play high up the pitch. He's a really good counter-attacker, but I wonder whether in the World Cup where so many teams defend deep, he might get a bit frustrated without having that same space to operate in.
And he's going to be their main creator as well. You know, it's going to have other players around him who can do something with the ball. You are getting into the realm of teams here that have one good player, 24, Egypt, Mohamed Salah. I don't know if anyone's mentioned to you. If they live on Merseyside, they'd probably compare him to Messi fairly recently. But Egypt have got 24. They've been brilliant in African competition. I mean, they've won AFCON like 20 times out of the last 25 or something ludicrous. That was a completely made up stat, but they are very good on African soil. But they haven't qualified for a World Cup in a long time. Interested to see how they are. Peru, I don't know if anyone has major thoughts on them. Ricardo Gareca was very good with Vélez for many years and now doing pretty well with Peru. He's got some talent, but they're going to kind of be more about being organised, I think. Japan, who Johnny had really high, we've got a 26. Iran, anyone?
The Iranian Messi is the
Iranian Messi. Australia 28, bad team.
Yeah, they're not great.
Aaron Moy.
Just changed their manager as well before a World Cup.
Anthony Postecoglou. Yeah, that was a bit of a mess, that one. 29, I've got Panama, but I think they are a complete unknown to most people, fair to say.
Yes.
Tunisia 30. Russia 31. That's my anti-Russian bias coming out. 32, unfortunately. Saudi Arabia. Any disputes?
No, I agree with that order.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, you could watch the World Cup or you could just listen to our power rankings. We'll probably go back and revisit those at some point. The other thing we should revisit, Jack, is you sorted the competition for the Sevilla shirt on the last show.
I did, yep.
But we have a new one. We have two books to give away. We have one book, which is a signed copy of Mauricio Pochettino's Brave New World, is it called?
Yes.
Brave New World autobiography, written with Guillaume Balaguer, that's signed. And that, again, is the usual way. If you leave a review with us on iTunes.
A nice review.
any sort of review, who knows if the nice ones will have more chance of winning, then that will be making its way to you shortly. We'll just pick one of them out at random. And we've also got Tom Williams' new book, which is called The Language of Football, was it?
I thought we were giving away Tony Evans' new book, Two Tribes.
I wanted to give away Tom's book as well. So
is Tom's book out yet?
Yes. Tony Evans, Two Tribes. We had Tony on the podcast 2 weeks ago. We'll definitely give away a copy of that. And also Tom's book on the language of football. So we'll give those out over the next few weeks. Three books. So get reviewing to make sure that you're in with a chance. If you have any disagreements with our power rankings, then please, of course, email us. Our email's not too difficult to work out. If you've got any problems with the rankings, obviously, just request a refund. Until then, thank you to Jack Austin.
Thank you, Ed.
Jack Pitbrook, any parting thoughts?
No, thank you.
And thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week when the Premier League will have returned. We'll be back on Tuesday because next week is Easter Monday. But until then, goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.